from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
It's a great question.
Wow, that's a great question.
That's a great question.
That's a great question.
And that's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what.
No, I now that I'm laughing, we got to let the listeners in. It just made me so we're getting fancy schmancy around here.
Super fancy.
Look, look, look. And TJ.
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, runs the place.
Tim Jordan.
They're in here during the break, like, testing where they want to put the fancy new neon 95.7 The Game signs.
It is pretty awesome.
Yeah, like, imagine your favorite bar at like 11:30 at night where the little light that we're going to get those.
It's pretty cool.
And we're going to party. And it's amazing. But right,
let's go to Dibs, half in the bag.
Right.
Or maybe will be with a neon sign in
all
here.
All the way in the bag. And so we're testing all that out. And then you said something at the very end that just made me think of one of my great frustrations in life, even though it makes me sound like a jerk. You kind of looked at them and you're like, do you think maybe you would do this when we're not
exactly
doing the show?
Right.
It's kind of like when construction on a roadway, they're like, you know what we should do? Monday at 8 a.m. And I'm the jerk where the Caltrans people are out there, and God bless them, and they're working their butts off. But I'm like, I don't know, like midnight. I used to have to work at midnight. You have to work at midnight. Don't do the road construction in the middle of rush hour.
Right.
Don't test the signs when Dibs is trying to make a Brandon Ayuk point.
I'm getting ready for Doc Pandya, and I've got questions about injuries, and, you know, we're talking Ayuk, and we got Kyle Harrison coming up, and we're doing Niner camp, and we're grinding on content here, and it's, can you hold it a little bit higher? Come on,
well,
people.
The really difficult question to answer was, how does Dibs look in this frame?
And that was awkward.
I'm like, I don't know what kind of resources we have here.
Yeah, it's a great question.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop, and now we go to Cleared to Play. We take you inside the tent, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay, proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment, and bring in Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Nirav Pandya. Hi, Doc.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine, except for we're stuck in wide receiver hell. And Ricky Pearsall is out again this week when it sort of felt like he wouldn't be. So with that shoulder injury that he's dealing with, what do you know?
So, you know, this sounds like, even though they haven't necessarily reported this, it sounds like an AC joint injury. And one of the key things when you have kind of this mild to moderate AC joint injury is that regardless of what an MRI or an X-ray shows, it's really based off how a player actually feels. So if he's feeling discomfort and you're worried about contact aggravating that injury, then you just keep holding people out. So it is a little bit frustrating, I know, for fans to have him out and not get a lot of preseason, but these injuries are really based on how does it feel. And you're worried about, is he going to get another hit in the preseason that puts him out 4 to 5 weeks? So maybe a little bit of rest early on in the season will help prevent that secondary injury that would keep him out longer.
And what is the AC joint injury like? Is it, you know, something where it'll limit his ability to stretch high for the football? Is it more structural on the bone? What is the risk for re-injury for an AC joint on a shoulder?
It's relatively low if you don't come back, you know, with pain. So if you're pretty much pain-free, you've got all your mobility, usually that risk is low. What ends up happening is that when players try to come back with these when they're still having pain, then that risk is higher. The biggest thing you worry about is direct contact, or when you basically get that shoulder driven into the ground, which obviously at a wide receiver position, particularly the way he plays, he's very aggressive, you worry about that. So if that truly is the injury, which is what it sounds like based on what they're reporting, then you worry about contact, you worry about going across the middle, and you worry about getting tackled and going in the ground, which at the slot position is something you're doing a lot of and is a cause for concern.
Doc, I joked that Christian McCaffrey has a bug bite, not a calf injury, because he's running around all over the place on the sideline, and I get it. The Niners don't want to play him because he's way too important, but I'm probably making too much light of it. You tell us, what he's doing on the side tells you what about Christian's calf injury?
That typically means that he's pain-free, he's got full mobility, he has his strength back. So running is a huge step when you're coming back from calf injuries. Like, if you're just doing kind of lighter stuff, doing rehab, but when you start running, you're really loading that calf area. So the fact that he's doing that, very good. The next thing I'd want to see is he doing sprints? Is he doing agility work? But that running is probably the biggest step forward in the rehab. So I think more than anything else, it's early on in the season, he's going to have a lot of usage. Why take that risk and have him do a lot of stuff? The fact that he's running, it makes me feel that he's going to be ready for week one. Less worried about this lingering into the season based on the progression that we've seen.
Ambry Thomas with a broken arm seems pretty garden variety. And if he was maybe a defensive lineman, you could throw a cast on him and he could play. But it seems as though he'll be out for a longer period of time. What's the nature of his broken arm?
Yeah, so typically at that position where you do need to use the arm, you know, at the line, you can play quicker because you can put that cast on, as you mentioned. Typically, surgery for this kind of arm fracture, if that's the route they're going down, is typically with plates and screws, and you're basically putting those in there so that the bone will heal quicker, also lines up the bone, and also make sure that when you get back to play, it's less likely to break again. The issue with that is sometimes it can take 8 to 12 weeks to get back to play, and obviously that varies based on what the actual break is, but it takes a while to get that strength back for the bone to heal. And one of the things you don't want to do is go back too early when you have something theoretically in your arm, because then you can break on either side of what you put in. So once again, a little bit of a tricky situation in that position. You want to make sure they're fully healed up before they're back on the field.
Doc Pandya with us, and of course we call this cleared to play, and guess who's been cleared to play? Talanoa Hufanga. You tell us, Doc, what are his chances of playing week one?
You know, I think a lot of that depends on how his knee responds. He's at that nine-month mark. So, you know, typically for most people who have an ACL surgery, 9 months, everything that they've done from putting that ACL in is healed. Now the real variability comes on how does that knee feel when he cuts, when he pivots, when he does all those things. If he looks comfortable, he doesn't have swelling, and he's able to do all those football activities functionally, then there's absolutely a chance based on where he is that he could play. Now, if he feels a little bit weaker, a little swelling pops up, then it may potentially mean a week or two later. But absolutely, from a structural standpoint, based on what they're reporting, there's absolutely a chance he can play week one. And we haven't heard any setbacks based on what's reported.
That's pretty exciting when you think about what might be in the secondary. Just one Giants one. Patrick Bailey scratched yesterday. He scratched again tonight with a little bit of an oblique side injury. What do you think about his ability to come back and play sooner rather than later?
Yeah, I think it was just reported. I think Alex Pavlovic reported that he's getting an MRI just a couple minutes ago. So obviously that's a little bit more of a cause for concern. Typically, if it was just a minor oblique, you just kind of watch it. Maybe they're just being extra cautious given the position that he plays of getting that MRI. But if there is a true oblique injury that's like a grade one, grade two, then you do worry about a couple weeks out. If everything's fine, it's just a little bit of inflammation and they're being extra cautious, then he could potentially be back in a couple of days. But with those oblique injuries in baseball players, you do worry about them lingering, particularly with all the rotation at his position. You definitely want that to be healed up and make sure that pain doesn't indicate that there's more tearing going on.
Doc, great stuff. Thank you as always.
No problem. Take care, guys.
Okay, there goes Doc Pandya. The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. Do you know how many hits Patrick Bailey has in the month of August?
One.
That's incorrect. Give him a buzzer. There you go. All right, keep
number
going.
Number two.
Yeah. How many do you think he's got
now? He's got two?
That's a, give him another buzzer.
He said number two. No. He led me right to it.
No, you were off by two.
Oh, he's got three.
He's got
number
three.
Ooh.
In other words, Kirk Casale had almost as many hits last night as Patrick Bailey has had in August.
And Bailey's three for, like, what, 38 or something crazy like that?
Well, in August, just in August. We could keep going because he had an 0 for leading into August. But yeah, the month of August, he is 3 for 53.
Say that again. Say it with your chest.
The month of August, he is 3 for 53 with one extra base hit.
That's almost impossible.
And a sparkling OPS. His OPS in August is 165.
His
OPS. Not his average.
On base plus slugging.
A decent run-of-the-mill OPS, for those of you who don't speak analytics, is like 740. His is 165.
It just,
In the month of August. His average is 057, and his on-base is 089.
Right?
And it's his slugging percentage is 075.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
When you think about what has happened to his offensive season. July 22nd, he went 2 for 3, and his batting average was 278. And now his batting average is down to 233.
Yeah. You know what else is wild? It's not just 3 for 53. He's got two walks. Like, he literally does not get on base at all. So anyway. All right. Couple things here, because Kyle Harrison's joining us in 15 minutes. Jake Hutchinson, our Niners guy, on the scene all the time, is going to join us at 5. Want to go back to the phones at 888-957-9570. But right before we do that, I just want to let everyone know that after we take a few more calls, what we're going to get to. I want to reset what we were having a conversation about earlier and what I now have a response on. I texted my guy.
Yeah, your guy.
Deep under the Vegas covers. I texted my guy because we were having a conversation about how the Niners' odds would change if it was known that there was no Ayuk. And we did that small sample and big sample.
Yeah,
in other
point
words,
spread.
Point spread of the game against the Jets and Super Bowl odds for the year if it was known that Brandon was not going to be on the team. And I have answers.
From a guy who actually sets odds. Oh, he's an odds maker. We've had this man on the show,
At a book y'all know.
In a book is like one of the trendsetters.
Correct.
They set it, and other people follow what he sets.
This is the dude.
Yeah. So I respect what he has to say.
He's the big Lebowski.
Unlike most of the people you refer to, this man I actually respect. Most of the Yahoos you travel with. But anyway.
That was funny. I don't even know why. That was just funny. All right.
Most of the people who you cite as sources are credible, but I just wanted to take a shot.
Just in case
this backfires on me.
Let's go to Daryl in San Ramon. Hi, Daryl. What are you doing today?
Hey, William Dibby. Good afternoon, you guys.
What's up, Daryl?
To you as well.
My car before a doctor's appointment.
Nice.
Hey, I can't wait to see you guys back at Fieldworks again. That was a great time.
A birdie has not released yet.
No.
The opportunity to come to a summit is coming soon. I'm not saying where or when.
All right.
But it's gonna happen soon.
I just wanted to throw it out there. I'd hate to lose Brandon, of course. I'd love to keep him. The only way that takes this thing out of where he goes, if maybe we do a three-way trade. If we get a couple of draft picks from Pittsburgh, throw them over to the Raiders because Devontae Adams is not happy. Do you think something like that could happen?
Well, that's been proposed a little bit out there, Daryl. And do I think it could happen? Honestly, no, is my very brief answer. And if it was going to happen, I'd argue that it needed to happen by now. You know what I mean? Like, hope sort of springs eternal. This is supposed to be the time of year where even the crappy teams, I'm sorry, Raiders, you didn't get a quarterback. Even the crappy teams are supposed to have big goals with regard to what they do. Teams aren't shuffling their top players 2 weeks before week one. And you know, Devontae would probably want some sort of contractual something in order to make all that happen. So I just think That's a it's a great idea. I think it's really difficult to execute and getting harder by the minute.
Right, and I do think that what you said in part of that answer is the biggest part, which is he's going to want a contract. So if you don't want to give Brandon Ayuk a contract, and it seems like you're not thrilled with whatever amount he's wanted, and so that's why the contract is dragged out, why would you want to turn around and give Amari Cooper or Devontae a contract in the same way that you don't want to give Brandon Ayuk a contract? The reason why you eventually would trade Brandon Ayuk is not because of how he plays football. It's because of what he wants to be paid to play football. So you wouldn't then turn around and acquire somebody who also wants to get paid like that.
Correct.
That makes no sense to me.
I just don't, you know, what becomes the motivation? I know Devontae's not happy, but I keep hearing his name. And I understand where the idea comes from, but I don't think the Raiders are hell-bent on getting Devontae Adams, their best player, at least on offense, off the roster right now. Things are hard enough for Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell because, you know, they're not that good. You don't want to take their number one weapon away from them as well. My gosh, teams running around with no running back and no quarterback. They want to take away their only wide receiver? Probably a bad idea.
Yep.
So anyway, sorry for the people who are running backs with the Raiders. I'm not high on this year.
Yeah, and sorry for the Raider fans who are still here in the Bay Area, which it feels like those numbers are dwindling somewhat. But yeah, the Raiders probably won't be that great this year. And now maybe that's a deal that happens at the deadline, which you don't get a lot of deadline deals. Yeah. But, you know, Devontae Adams might play 7 or 8 games with the Raiders, and it's pretty clear that they're not going to be good. And at that point, maybe he tries to force his way out. But for right now, you're right. That sort of a trade is not going to happen in the end of August.
You want answers?
I do, yeah.
I think I'm entitled. Okay. So here's how I asked the question. I just want to let you know, here's how I asked the question. I see the Niners right now are approximately, because Grandy, I did an aggregate of what you found and what I found. You found -5.5. I found -4.5.
Correct.
So I said, I see the Niners are approximately -5. Against the Jets. If Ayuk were for sure not going to play in the game, how would the spread change? Ready for the answer? The answer is, he says, 5 is actually a holding neutral position because we don't know. And if he plays, slight tick up, 5.5, maybe 6. Bettors will decide that with money. And if he doesn't play, 4.5, maybe 4.
Right.
Okay.
So 1 point either way, plus or minus.
Point and a half. Right? Does that surprise you?
No.
The Niners are still essentially about the same favorite
exactly,
that they would be.
Because 5 is a very neutral number. You're more than a field goal, but you're not quite a touchdown.
Correct.
So 5 is kind of that in-between anyway. Now, if it was a quarterback, if Brock Purdy's not going to play, that 5 goes down to maybe 1 or a pick 'em. Or if Aaron Rodgers, it's announced, isn't going to play, that goes up to probably 9.
I agree. And by the way, I think there are other players on the 49ers, in fact, I know so, who would move this number more than Brandon. Not just Purdy. Christian McCaffrey, absolutely. After what happened last year,
Nick Bosa,
Debo Samuel, for sure. Trent Williams, absolutely. I think all of these players would move the line more than Brandon Ayuk. All right, here's the big one. Your statement again. On the Niners, who, what, plus 600, so 6-1?
6-1. The Niners, NFC favorites.
They are the co-favorites. They are the NFC favorite, and they are the co-favorite.
NFC favorites.
And the co-favorite for the whole banana with the Chiefs. Both of them are 6-1. Your statement is, if there's no Brandon Ayuk, and you know there's no Brandon Ayuk
for the year,
you think what happens to the Niners' Super Bowl odds?
I think their odds go up and other teams go down to where they're at least co-favorites in the NFC.
Okay.
They probably go to 10-1, and the other teams that are at 12-1 come down to 10-1.
So the Lions right now are the next favorite at 12-1.
Right.
Niners are at 6-1, Lions 12-1, Eagles 13-1, Ravens are over here at 10-1. They're the third favorite for the Super Bowl. Chiefs 6-1, Niners 6-1. If there is no Brandon Ayuk, and that is in ink for the whole year.
And this is how you asked him.
I'll read you the question.
Please.
If Ayuk was off the Niners for the year, how would Super Bowl odds change? I currently see them at plus 600. His answer, if he is not part of the team, and I'm going to add some sarcastic flavor, the 6-1 co-Super Bowl favorite 49ers will nosedive off of a cliff and roll all the way down to 7-1.
That's not what he said.
No, he
you're
said.
You're adding your own.
He said the Niners will go to 7-1 if he's not part of the
from
team.
From 6-7.
From 6-1 to 7-1. And that, in my opinion, is a big piece of what Kyle Shanahan is probably thinking behind closed doors. Do you want to go down? No, you don't want to have your odds go. Are you worse without Brandon? All of these things are true. Should we play Twister with the guy and let him run the whole show to prevent going from 6-1 to 7-1? Like, my point is and was, if there's no Brandon, guess who the Super Bowl favorite in the NFC is?
Still the Niners.
The Niners.
Well, then why in God's name are you allowing him to play Twister with you?
Buster Olney, that's a great question.
And that is a great question.
It's a great question.
Thank you, Buster and Mark. Because
it's a great question.
I mean, if honestly, and the odds I do think are reflective of reality, they don't set these odds willy-nilly. They set it based on betting markets, but a lot of times they set them where, yeah, there's a reason why the Raiders are probably 100-1 to win the Super Bowl because the Raiders aren't very good. So they don't do this as a popularity contest or their favorites. So it is reflective of coaching staffs, rosters, schedules, and the rest of it. So 100-1?
You nailed that.
I mean, I just was ballparking it, but
the Raiders are, yeah. Yeah, they
100-1.
They are plus 10,000.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I mean, if the Niners' move is that small, then what are we doing here? Parag and John and Kyle, play hardball. Like that earlier caller, that caller yeah, who was a 50-year litigator was saying, and I'm guessing 50 because he sounded like he was 75.
The only reason you wouldn't play hardball is if, and I don't know this, and the tweets annoy everybody, but if behind the scenes they really do feel like, dude, we're dotting I's and crossing T's over here. If that's the case, then yeah, you don't suddenly turn around and play hardball. But if he's at the same time, if you're sitting here, like John Lynch said a week ago, where it's like, why is he not signed? Like, I wish I knew. If that goes on a little bit longer, yeah, you might try that. Hey, before Kyle Harrison comes on, you want to play a fun game?
Yeah.
You just nailed the Las Vegas Raiders at 100-1.
I got no ding for it either.
Game show Hurts. Music, please, if you would, Mark Grandy. The Raiders are 100-1 to win the Super Bowl. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 teams who have worse odds to win the Super Bowl than the Las Vegas Raiders. Can you name them?
6 teams worse?
6 teams with longer odds to win the Super Bowl than the Raiders.
We're up against it, so I can't do my usual.
Let's do it quick.
Can't be a cogitation sensation.
No,
but
come on.
The Panthers have got to be one of them.
Ding.
The quarterbackless Patriots have to be one.
The worst on the board. Ding.
My guy Danny Dimes and the Giants, they're no good.
Ding.
And the Commanders, they stink as well.
Ding.
Two more.
Hot.
Man. How about, no. Well, how about, yeah. Calamari in the Arizona Cardinals. Woo! You can't.
That's incorrect.
No?
No, plus 8,000. I'm sorry. Yeah. We got a little time for you to. Let's play two strikes. That's one strike. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, or two. Go ahead.
I should have probably gone with the hapless Broncos.
Dude. That is correct. There's one more.
One team. I love this man. He's a ginger. And despite Justin Jefferson, I just don't think they're very good. Gotta be the Minnesota Vikings. Boo-boo! I said boo-boo!
Yeah, I'm sorry. That is incorrect. They are plus 8,000.
Oh, no!
We were looking for, somewhat surprisingly, The Tennessee Titans.
Oh, crap.
The Tennessee Titans at plus 15,000.
Tennessee Oilers.
So sorry. 150-1. Thank you for playing our game.
Thank you for playing.
Please exit right over here.
I'm going to.
To your left. We're sponsored by Floor & Decor, and Kyle Harrison comes on next. And not only does he talk to us, he plays the big finish.
Yeah, he does.
Right here on Willard and Dibs. I mean, if he says yes.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, back to Willard and Wibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I've been waiting for this. And this is exciting. Because not only was the hype big coming into the year, you get to a night like last night, right? He's getting to like the most innings he's ever thrown. How's he going to perform? How about one run on five hits in six innings and a victory that the Giants absolutely had to have? How do you feel about that?
That's pretty good. Okay. Pretty good, I'd say, yeah.
That's Kyle Harrison we're talking about with his seventh win of the year and kind enough to join Willard and Dibs the very next day. Hey, Kyle, what's going on?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Thanks for having me on. Good win last night, and hopefully we could take care of business today and tomorrow. So, good to get a good W, first game of the series.
Absolute necessity, right? Kyle Harrison joining us here on the River Islands guest line. How would you describe, and maybe this is like an obvious answer, but the clock is starting to work against you guys a little bit. So how would you put into words the urgency you guys are feeling?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you feel it, you know. That's kind of what we've been talking about every day here. You know, it's like that should be the standard, you know, to want to win every day and try your best to win that ball game. And, you know, it is the clock's working against us right now, but we just got to play hard ball and, you know, win these next couple of games in this coming week and hopefully get on a hot streak here.
How do you balance that urgency with staying in your process? Because as a pitcher, you can only really control the pitch you're about to throw, and yet you could be overwhelmed by the enormity of what you have to do. How do you stay in your process, pitch to pitch, and not let the enormity of the math and all the rest of it get in your way?
Yeah, you know, I think it's just, like you said, you can't worry about it. You know, that's kind of what I've been thinking, and you know, I've just been going back to my routine. You know, that's really the only thing that I feel like, you know, can kind of bring you back to a sense of normalcy, you know, throughout the season. You know, just trying to figure out what works in your routine, just whether it's running the day after your starts or something to bring you that mental headspace, just to let you know that, just to execute pitches, you know, really, that's kind of the only thing that we can control, and everything else kind of falls into place behind. But if you could just figure out how to be the best version of yourself every fifth day, you know, that's really all I'm trying to do here.
Kyle Harrison joining us on Willard and Dibs. And Kyle, you know the scrutiny as your innings build up and people are looking at that through your history, and they saw, you know, whether, I don't know if it's dead arm or whatnot, but the velocity dip a couple of starts ago. How are you dealing with that, and how would you describe how the arm is feeling?
Yeah, you know, I'd say it's feeling great right now. You know, I know, you know, the velo could be down a little, but I'm honestly not worried about it at all. You know, the body's feeling great. The strike percentage is at an all-time high for me, so that's something, especially at this inning threshold for me, that's something that I'm pretty proud of right now, and just able to stay in ball games and kind of go as deep as I can, you know. So I know the velocity can be there, and that's something that, you know, maybe I'll try to build on next off season, but I know it's in there, so it'll sneak out here and there. Just like last night, I was feeling a little better, and but it's about setting up your other pitches as well too. So I know a lot of people get hung up on velocity, but been doing a really good job with landing my secondary stuff, and you need all three in this league, you know, to pitch. So that's something that I've been just trying to hone in on.
Is there an increased comfortability pitching at Oracle Park for you to where you get home and you feel like maybe you have a little bit more of a margin for error?
Oh, definitely. I mean, growing up here, you know, that's all I remember here, and this was a great pitcher's park. So, I mean, throughout all the places I've been to this year, just learning the different environments, humidity, all that, I mean, this is the spot to be. So, I mean, yeah, it's awesome to come back home here.
Kyle, you mentioned that the guys, everybody's feeling the pressure to go on a playoff run here. What does that mean for the daily vibe within the clubhouse or the dugout? Is there more chatter? Is there less? Like, how are you guys all sort of working with that?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say we necessarily feel it. You know, I think it's there. You know, I think it should be there in any ball club. You know, we want to be a winning ball club, and that should be the goal. So that should be the standard, you know, no matter what organization or what team. I think that in general, you should feel pressure to be here and be up in the big leagues. And at the end of the day, you got to perform. So, you know, that's really just kind of this first full year for me. That's what I've been really learning about, how to navigate through and just the whole mental headspace of it, and just how to attack each day, you know, and not getting too hung up on one game or one start. Just gotta ride it, you know.
Does it help the navigation being alongside a couple of veteran lefties, a couple of Cy Young Award winners, guys who can maybe help you have somebody to emulate as you get through your first full season?
I mean, definitely. You know, I mean, after my game yesterday, even just coming out of the game and taking my cleats off, and I look to my right and left, and I see Robbie and Snell, and I'm like, man, these are some of the, you know, greatest lefties of my generation, you know. So I thought it was kind of a cool moment for me to sit there and just ask them a couple questions and really just see what they're thinking, because they got so much experience and just dominance that, you know, I want to be like them one day, you know.
Kyle, speaking of that, the rest of the rotation, what was your reaction to Farhan Zaidi recently saying that this is the best rotation in baseball?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a cool statement. You know, I like to joke and say it kind of bit me in the butt on a couple starts, but, you know, that's just kind of the way we got to look at things. The baseball gods are always listening. So, I think we got a pretty good rotation. And with me and Birdie trying to hold it down at the bottom, you know, we're just going to do our best, and we're going to go out there and compete. We are starters. I mean, Webby's a competitor. Robbie's a dog. You know, Snell's a dog. So all these guys are just competing, and you know, we're going to give our best every 5 days.
And you're competing against the other team, but is there some sort of competition among the five of you? You all, of course, want to go out and pitch well and win, but when you see like Snell go out there and throw a no-hitter, and you see Webby go out there and get a complete game shutout, does that give you extra juice to try to go out there and keep up?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think that's something, even when I first started in the minors, you know, it's kind of that bond you have between the starters, and it's you know, it's that iron sharpens iron. It's that, you know, you want to get be better and try to get better and be just as good as the guy before you that pitched the night before. And you know, kind of set the standard, and, you know, one guy starts setting the tone and next guy wants to follow it up and do better. So it just compiles. And hopefully we could get that going here a little more. And I mean, we're just going to build after start. And really excited with the arms we got here.
I mean, Kyle, you've said what you said here today with regard to being around Blake Snell and Robbie Ray, but let's zero in on Blake's last 8 starts since the break. I don't know if I've ever seen quite a run of dominance like this from a starting pitcher. What have you gathered from watching specifically those 8 starts?
Yeah, I mean, I've gathered a lot, and it's probably could probably have a whole hour conversation about it. But, you know, I think just at the end of the day, it's determination, it's confidence, and just conviction. And that's a guy who, you know, just even talking about routines and figuring out what works with him, and just how, like, the mindset of, you know, just one good start, how that doesn't matter. You know, he's came off after throwing the no-hitter, and he's like, man, I want another one, you know? So it's just like that hunger, and he's taking it into the game and just fighting, man. That's what I'm seeing him, just getting ahead with conviction and putting guys away quick.
Did I just hear you say that you want to stay here for a whole hour and talk to us about this? Is that what you said?
No, I could. Just because I've learned so much from that guy, and he's been awesome to me.
Well, you mentioned your routine, and you pitched yesterday, so you probably have a little bit of free time, but what's it like for you between yesterday finishing up and knowing when you're going to get the ball the next time you go out there on the bump?
Yeah, you know, it's that's the hard part. It's figuring out how to keep sane between those days, you know, if you have a bad one, you know. So it's just bringing you back to that routine, and for me, it's, you know, running that next day and getting a good workout in, and then getting their treatment in, you know, some arm care, some massaging by our guy here that does a great job. So it's all about getting the body right, and then hit the weights tomorrow and throw the rock a little and get ready for the next start. But it's just the going process. So you know, it's just keeps going, never ends. So learning to love it, you know, that's for sure.
Kyle Harrison with us on 95.7 The Game. Kyle, what can you tell Giants fans? Because you were here some last year. Like, what can you tell Giants fans about what differences there are between Gabe Kapler's clubhouse and Bomell's clubhouse?
Yeah. You know, that's a tough question, just because, you know, I think we had different staff and all that. But, I mean, you know, I really got nothing to say about, you know, the other staff. You know, I've been here for probably a month and a half, so I'm got to know them a little bit. But no, they were great to me. Nothing but great things. And I think this year, just Melvin's just done a great job, just talking with us and being open with us. And I'm looking forward to finishing up the season here and hopefully get some more wins and getting a sneak in the playoffs.
Well, Kyle, now that you've admitted you don't want to stay here for the full hour.
Yeah, which is a little disappointing, to be honest.
We do have a fun game that we like to play with our special guest called The Big Finish, and a birdie tells me that you've agreed to play the game with us.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's do the big finish. All right, so how it works, Kyle, is we've got 2 categories, and then you pick one, and then we're going to ask you some questions.
Going to pepper you with questions.
Out of that category. So the 2 categories are Bay Area bread or pitches get stitches.
It's tough.
I know.
This is the hardest part, really, because you don't know what's coming after you make this choice.
Yeah, let's go Bay Area.
Okay.
Bay Area bred.
Kyle Harrison.
You dodged a bullet there, Kyle.
Yeah. Did everybody catch that Kyle Harrison's from the Bay? All right. Here we go.
Shout out De La Salle.
Kyle Harrison's vote for best burrito in the Bay.
Ooh, man. Let's see. That's hard. There was one, I can't remember the name of this taqueria I went to in SF. I'm forgetting the name. I'm blanking on it, man. It's putting me on the spot. But no, definitely, maybe it was like Law Taqueria or something. I think that's the name of it. But it was an elite burrito.
Grandy, yeah. You're nodding. What's going on there?
Well, I'm talking the Mission. It's the best tacos and burritos in the city.
Okay, you know? So apparently you got a right answer, Kyle.
That's like getting a strikeout with the bases loaded right there, Kyle. That was gutsy. That was pretty impressive.
I went for it.
No, it was great. And I was wondering if there was a Concord spot, because I've been spending some time at the Concord DMV for hours, by the way, and you leave there hungry.
That's what I'm trying to think of. Yeah. I know there was a Freebirds I used to hit up over there in high school, kind of off Treat Boulevard.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's still there, but not too many burrito spots, man. We were big burger guys after high school. Just go grab a burger.
Well, then, I mean, if you're going to lead us there, yeah, what's the best burger then, Kyle?
I mean, it's got to be In-N-Out. I think the best bang for your buck, especially. I know inflation has gone a little up this year, so I'm keeping an eye on that. But, I think the In-N-Out after games can't beat it. You know, grab a shake and some fries, unbeatable.
Are you one of these animal-style people, or are you classy?
Oh, yeah. I'm an animal-style guy. Come on, from the Bay. Yeah. You got it.
No need to get the bun involved. I mean, that was more than just one question.
That's true.
Yeah, question number two. Yeah. You're from here, and invariably you've had a chance to, I'm sure, be a tourist in your own town. Maybe it was a date or whatnot, but what is your favorite tourist destination right here in the Bay Area?
I'd say, I like Baker Beach a lot. We used to go there a little bit in high school. I'm trying to think where else. In the Bay, man, in high school, man, it was a baseball field, man. I'm not going to lie. In the weight room. So that's really all I was doing there, and the beach every now and then, and then maybe some few golf courses, but those are my spots.
I love that. And Baker Beach, as you probably know, if you go really far to the, I think it's the east end, it can be clothing optional.
Yeah, that's for sure. I didn't really notice that yet, and don't know if I'll say I'll take you up on it on here, but that's good to know.
If you happen to see me out there, we'll just pretend like we don't know each other.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Kyle Harrison pull the ripcord live on 95.7. Okay,
this is my favorite.
Last one, Kyle. Best amusement park, like Great America, Discovery Kingdom, you got Raging Waters, Hurricane Harbor. Yeah. What do you got?
I'm going to go the one in Vallejo here. I remember going there in high school or maybe middle school for like a field trip or something. And then I was really scared of coasters growing up, and, just kind of broke that fear and just went on like 10 different coasters that day and was a coaster freak, you know, from that point on. So I'd say probably that place that changed my outlook kind of on them.
Discovery Kingdom. Kong and Medusa. Yeah. That was, I think, the last roller coaster I went on, Kyle. Kong broke me.
Yeah.
That was it.
I went on that same one, too. Yeah, I broke the back a little, but Medusa one was pretty next level.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched my kids go to Discovery Kingdom a year and a half ago on those coasters, and I said, that's going to be a no for me, dog. And that was, that's it for that. But anyway, Kyle, ton of fun. Good answers. Great job. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you guys so much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Okay.
Good luck the rest of the way,
Kyle.
Yeah.
There he goes. Kyle Harrison. And he's right. Discovery Kingdom, which, by the way, as director of sports, Lucas whispered in my ear when he was answering, like back when Kyle's talking about it, correct me if I'm wrong, was that where Marine World went, and then they sort of, it evolved from animals to just coasters?
I do think they still have animals. I haven't been there in a long time.
I went there.
Are we animal free now?
Well, Abe had his 15th or 16th birthday there.
Yeah, okay.
So it's been a minute, but only a minute. Like, it's been about a year and a half.
Okay.
And we cruised through that place, and
No,
I
animals.
Mean, maybe yeah. there's a chicken hanging around somewhere or something. But no, like not.
Okay, I haven't been there in 10 years.
It's not like Marine World used to be.
It was Marine World. Yeah.
And I grew up next to what was the former Marine World when it was in Redwood City.
Right.
Like that was one freeway exit for me.
Yeah.
We went on those water slides all the summer long.
Yeah.
All of them.
They moved it to Vallejo and they had animals. And then last time I was there, there was there were animals, but...
By the way...
I haven't been there in a while now.
What hastened the exit... I don't know this to be a fact, but what hastened the exit of Marine World from Redwood City? Like, do you want the famous story we always reference?
Oh, God.
With
here
the damn
go.
Tiger
yes.
on the stage?
It's a
no,
great story.
That was from Marine World.
Oh.
That's where it was from. That was a connect between San Mateo High School and Marine World. That's where they brought the tiger from. They didn't bring it from Vegas. It wasn't Siegfried or Roy. It was Marine
Rest
World.
Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Both of them, I believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and play the percentages on
wow,
that
Wow, I don't know that to be true at all, but it might be.
One of them got mauled and didn't
That's
really
right.
recover.
That's right.
And then the other one, I think, died of a broken heart. But
well, that was mean.
That was super mean.
Grandy's like, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about.
I zoned out for like 2 seconds, and I'm completely lost.
Anyway.
You've heard of Siegfried and Roy, right,
oh,
Grandy?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you acting, or have you actually heard? You don't even know who that is. Lucas, do you know?
No longer I do. With us,
you know
so
Siegfried
score
Roy
that
are?
One.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the Vegas performers mm-hmm. and, yeah, tigers, you know, stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of them got mauled, and the other one passed away.
But did the one who got mauled die from the mauling or something
eventually,
else?
Eventually. I mean, eventually. Anyway, Kyle.
Anyway.
Kyle with Harrison with the correct answer. Although as a kid, we went to Great America, Marriott's Great America,
oh,
as you remember.
Constantly. That's where, yeah, that's where like our senior party was.
And I do think that Raging Waters in San Jose is reopening. Correct me if I'm wrong on the text line, the Xfinity mobile text line. I think that it's reopening.
Well, wait, what's reopening?
The one in San Jose, the water park.
Oh,
I think it's being repurposed.
I hope so.
And reborn.
We're also getting conflicting answers.
Oh, jeez.
Our good friend Zucci Main says, I'm here in Vallejo, and yes, they still have animals.
Thank you.
Quote, and stuff. Next text, okay. 415. I think when they turned it into Six Flags, the roller coaster vibration killed a whale.
You're going to have to Google that. That's unconfirmed.
What is going on here?
For the count. It feels like a Friday the way you're laughing.
I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. Listen, I don't know if there's still some animals hanging out. I was just there a year and a half ago. I walked through the whole place because I'm not going on most of those rides
because
they're built to make adults throw up, and I'm not doing it, and I didn't see any... like major built around animals attractions. Maybe it's just because my teenagers are not interested in that anymore, but I did not see, there certainly aren't any like whales and dolphins running around all over the place. All right.
Well, they're not running, but well, they may be swimming.
You know what I'm saying?
I do see a dolphin discovery. I'm on the Six Flags website.
Oh yeah, me too. There's all kinds of animals.
Did you watch like the back part? Because the animal yep. portion, at least when I was there as a
portion?
Kid, there's like the back portion of the amusement
yeah,
park.
Probably not. Yeah. Probably
you
got to
find them, you know?
Up against like there's a little like lake or lagoon
yeah.
back
and
there.
And is it open year round? Because this would have been in January. This would have been in winter.
For sure. I see Bird Trail, Kane's Lion Encounter, Cheetah Creek, Cougar Rocks, Dolphin Discovery, Giraffe Encounter, Lion's Lair.
They don't have the thing.
Otter's Outlook?
No, but you know where everybody's sitting in
Penguin
a circle.
Penguin Passage?
But everyone's sitting in a circle, and somebody's like, you know, doing tricks with whales in a massive pool. And the whales are swimming up and getting fish and all that. Like
they used to, at least they used to have
anymore,
a killer
right?
whale display.
Yeah,
yes.
they're not doing
that's
that anymore, right?
Not legal
I don't
anymore.
Think
yeah,
so.
They're
I'm
doing
not,
other animal shows for
right,
sure, but the whale show
I don't
is
know
over.
About shows like you could go
shows,
look at them.
Yes,
it's like the circus. This
Temple of the
like,
Tiger.
Yeah, that's a great show.
No, but shows. Shows. It's one thing. Like you could go look at a lion.
No, for
it's
sure.
Different
shows.
Than look like the lion's doing tricks.
Yes.
Really?
For sure.
Still?
Yeah.
That's weird. I'm sorry. That's weird.
Have you ever been to SeaWorld?
Yes.
And Shamu.
But like that's.
We canceled SeaWorld.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's what
Shout
I'm
out
saying.
Blackfin.
It's kind of been canceled. They've been cruising around making the animals do tricks anymore.
What did
be
every,
nice to the animals.
What did every single person in this country watch during the pandemic?
Last Dance.
Tiger King.
I hated that. I refused to watch it.
That you were alone.
No, I know, but it was like...
That was absolute entertainment gold.
I did a whole segment on how Tiger King is basically spoiled milk. Because everybody who came up to me would say it the same way. It's just like spoiled milk where people are like, oh, that smells terrible. Here, try this. No, I don't want to try it. You just made a face. People came up to me and they're like, you got to see Tiger King. It'll be like, well, why? They're like, it's the craziest, most awful thing you've ever seen in your life. You got to watch
it. Far from awful.
I don't want to watch it. It's awful.
It was a beautiful slice of Americana.
Anyway.
It was America at its finest. And crazy how so many of these tiger handlers had one limb.
Zucci Mane says they still have elephants.
I'm sure. Although they don't have them. The Oakland Zoo's elephant is on its way out.
I did not see any elephants.
Osh.
I'm not saying they weren't there.
Yeah.
I did not run into any elephants on Abe's birthday.
You were at the bar.
Did you make it to Stingray Bay?
No. No. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Thank God Jake Hutchinson's about to come on. And apparently we'll talk some 49ers. And that's next on Willard and Dibs.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.